This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Hello and welcome to Thursday on CTR Network. I'm Suze, and it's my absolute pleasure to be your host for the next hour on Contact Talk Radio. We're flipping the switch, and that means getting that subconscious mind of yours to just automatically put your thoughts to the positive. I know, you think it's supposed to be hard, that it has to take a long time, but I don't know what's happened to you. You know, actually, I don't need to know. And that's the really cool thing about training your subconscious mind to go to the positive as a habit. So we'll be talking about that today, and I would love to chat with you. You can call in. It's toll free, 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062. Kira would love to grab your call, and she'll ask you for your email address, because then I will send you a complimentary invitation for a seat in our next Flip Your Switch course that you can use yourself or pass along to someone else. This is done by teleseminar, or if you're in the Calgary region and want to come live, you are welcome to do that. Or if you're elsewhere and want to put a group of people together and bring me to you, that works too. I'm just in the process of planning a week retreat for an intensive 15 hours of belief repatterning as part of a Monday to Friday retreat in Cabo San Lucas area. Beautiful, beautiful retreat center on top of the mountain. We'll be doing some Ayurvedic healing work as well as some yoga and meditation. The gal that has that property, Rakshana, was just here yesterday in Calgary visiting her family and came over to my place, and we had a beautiful meditation. She's just an amazing, amazing facilitator, trained at the Chopra Center, and has all of that beautiful energy to share. So she and I will be co-doing a workshop in that area, and there will be details up on the website soon, as soon as we have all the details put together. But I wanted to have you have a chance to put it in your calendar. March the 13th to the, wait a minute, yeah, whatever that Monday is, maybe it's the 15th to the 20th, something like that. That week anyway is when we're looking we're committed to doing a workshop that weekend. And so if you know that by then you're going to be just quite fed up with winter and you'd like to join us for some really varied experiences, a whole body, mind, soul experience, holistic experience of doing some repatterning, how you take that repatterning and embed it into other practices that you have, like yoga or meditation, and how you can improve those practices in yoga and meditation, or start out with it. It's okay if you're a beginner. One of the things I love about Rakshana is that she is totally, however you do it, is just fine. And she's really good at putting people at ease and helping them feel that they're capable and competent. So I'm very, very pleased to be doing a workshop with her in March. But we are here in November, 1 week out to Thanksgiving in the States. And I know that many of you are making those kind of plans. We're going to do a little bit of chatting about that because, of course, next week, CTR Network is on a holiday so that all of the wonderful people that work there, Cam and Lucinda and Kiara and Barb, can have time with their families. And so I have pre-recorded a show and we'll be playing that one next week. And I'll actually be in our nation's capital in Ottawa next week. So it works out just beautifully that we are able to do that. And my next week's show is a conversation with one of our apprentices by the name of Joseph Gabrielson. And some pretty enlightening things. He's a very remarkable individual. And you'll find out why when you listen to next week's show. But this week, our topic is about being kind and generous. So I know it sounds really easy, and I know that it sounds really simple. But lasting relationships come down to kindness, and generosity. And that's not just me saying that. This is actually research that was done at the Gottman Institute in the States. And psychologist John Gottman and his wife Julia run this institute, and they've studied healthy relationships in married couples for 4 decades. And when I say studied, they've studied. That's not just through conversation. They've done, you know, hooked people up with electrical nodes and measured things like heart rate and body perspiration and response time, and found that even in brand newly married people, that there was some indicators around whether or not those marriages would last. And they followed some of these marriages, as I said, for 4 decades. And the results are scientifically proven and conclusive. Doesn't matter about the other variables, wealth, financial status, ethnicity, age, kids or no kids, what kind of careers they have, does not matter. Across all nationalities, 2 things in common, 2 distinct characteristics in happy and successful partnerships, and that's kindness and generosity. It's a really fascinating article, and I sent the link for it out in my newsletter. If you're not yet receiving the Belief Repatterning newsletter, I send out something once a week with what I call Suze's Musings. And they're just my reflections on kind of what's been happening in my world and what I've been thinking about and sharing with you. So today I'd like to share with you a little bit more about this really interesting article that came across my path. It was a fascinating article. So it was in The Atlantic, and my partner on Sunday morning said, "Can I read you this article that just came through on my Facebook page?" And I said, "Of course. Would you like me to make you a cup of coffee first?" And he said, "No, I want to read this first." And I was like, wow, must be a really good article that he's willing to give up his first thing coffee. So it was a very interesting listen. I'm super interested in building a grand relationship. I've had good relationships. I've had okay relationships. I've had bad relationships. I've had mediocre relationships. And I made a decision a number of years ago that I would either be on my own or in a grand relationship. And I just decided that that's the way it was going to be. And I realized that in order to be a part of a grand relationship, I had to be in a grand relationship with myself. And so when Phil was reading this article to me, it got me thinking about when and where I am kind and generous with myself, as well as when and where I'm kind and generous with others. So I know a lot of people think it's selfish to be kind and generous to yourself first, but I actually think it's mandatory. I know that when I take care of me, when I'm kind and generous with myself, I just have so much more available bandwidth to give to others in my life, whether that be friends or family, coworkers, clients, business associates, just the person that I walk by in a store. I'm more present to things when I'm solid in myself. And the way to get solid in yourself is to be kind and generous with yourself. Now, this doesn't mean that you need to go out and spend $5,000 on a new wardrobe, although if you're so inclined and you've got that kind of resources at your fingertips, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think often we think about generosity as being dollar related, and it actually isn't dollar related. It actually has a lot more to do with time and other resources than just money. So what are some of the ways that you could be generous with yourself? Well, I was generous with myself last night when I went to bed early. I was generous with myself 2 nights ago when I had a nice bath with some great essential oils. I was generous with myself when I phoned up a girlfriend and suggested we have tea on the phone, and we sat on the phone for 1 hour and 20 minutes. It was great to have that nice catch up with her. I was generous with myself when I lay down and had a nap the other day in the middle of the afternoon. I was generous with myself when I stayed in bed just a little bit longer the other morning and read. It was just so lovely. It was a bit of a cool morning, and I just snuggled in and gave myself a 10-minute gift of just reading in bed like I used to when I was a kid or when I'm on holidays. There's lots and lots of ways that we can be generous with ourselves. We can be particularly generous in the words that we use when we speak to ourselves. And that's what the belief repatterning technique is all about. Training your subconscious mind to be generous with you, to be kind with you, and stop beating up on yourself. Now, the thing that was so interesting is that as we were going through this article on the weekend, and I said I started thinking about when I was kind and generous with myself, and I actually found a really sore spot, just a really tender spot, and I had some tears coming, and I thought, this is wonderful, wonderful. There's something here that's ready to be healed, that's ready to come forward. Notice the different response rather than going, oh no, I'm crying, there's something wrong. No, no, no. It was very much, I touched a tender spot. You know those spots. They're just like, you didn't even know it was there until you kind of poked at it. And then it's like, oh. Now, I could have spent a lot of time examining where it came from, who gave it to me, why it had to be there, how long I've carried it, how it's manifested. But I know that none of those things really, really help. What really helps is using the opportunity to say, what is this pointing me toward? And so I gave myself permission to have it point me towards something with kindness and generosity. I reached for my repatterning book. I have a little booklet called Pocket Full of Possibilities, and it's 999 words that evoke emotion. Because oftentimes we can't think of what it is that we really need. So I was sitting there, and although I repattern all the time, I still use the tools. And I reached for my book, and I muscle tested, and I found the page and the word. And imagine the grin on my face when the word that came up was forgiveness. And I realized that I just really needed to forgive myself for all the times that I wasn't kind and generous with me. Forgive myself for the times I'd unknowingly hurt myself. And importantly also, forgive myself for the times that I had knowingly hurt myself, knowingly sabotaged myself. I may not have known why I did, but I certainly knew I was doing it. So let's do a little repatterning here about getting closer to being kind and generous with yourself. And I gave you some examples of how I had been kind and generous to myself lately. And when we get to the freedom, you're going to need to fill in your own examples of that. So maybe think about that. Where were you kind and generous to yourself? And if that monkey's coming up and saying, you've never been kind and generous, it's like, okay, I haven't been focusing on it. I know I have been. It might be as simple as I was kind and generous with myself when I put my coat and scarf on before I went outside in the cold weather. It can be that simple. And it's just about bringing it to your awareness. So have a big sip of water. We're going to step into some repatterning. And if this rings any bells for you or touches any of those tender spots, I would love to hear from you, and do phone in on 877-230-3062. We can just chat, or we can do some repatterning, whatever works for you. So let's begin. I forgive myself for believing that I don't deserve my own kindness and generosity. I'll do it in parts for you. Just repeat that one, and at the end of each statement, breathe it in through your nose and out through your mouth. The whole point is to shift that perception. And if the monkey comes up and yells at you, we're going to talk about what you do then. I forgive myself for believing that I don't deserve my own kindness and generosity. And breathe it in. I forgive myself for believing that I can be kind and generous with others, but not with me. I forgive myself for believing I can be kind and generous with others, but not with me. And breathe it in. And let it go. I give myself permission to deepen my self-care in kind and generous ways. I give myself permission to deepen my self-care in kind and generous
ways and breathe it in and let it go. I give myself permission to consciously be kinder and more generous with myself. I give myself permission to consciously be kinder and more generous with myself and breathe that in and let it go. So that first stage of forgiveness is where we acknowledge it. And the next stage of permission is where we open to a new possibility. This next stage is choice, and it's where we make a conscious decision by putting the two ideas side by side and then making a choice. What happens then in the mind is that we've linked those two things and said, when this shows up and this shows up, I'm choosing this. So just like when I say the word down, your mind automatically thinks up. If I say black, your mind goes to white, left, right. We think in opposites. We learn in contrast. And so that's why we look for the opposite of the feeling and make sure that we link it in. So let's go here. I can leave myself until last. I've tried that and it's often disastrous. I can leave myself to last. I've tried that and it's often disastrous. Breathe that in. Or I can deepen my self-care and be kind and generous to myself. Or I can deepen my self-care and be kind and generous to myself. Breathe that one in. I make the choice to deepen my self-care because it supports me as well as others. I make the choice to deepen my self-care because it supports me as well as others. Breathe that in. I choose to consciously be kind and generous to myself today by. And then give yourself a specific example, not just eating right, but maybe making a great salad with fresh avocado and grated beets and toasted almonds. Rather than just eating well, you want to give yourself some specific example, okay? Rather than saying by going to bed on time, you might want to say by going to bed at and put the specific time. And then you want to make sure that you follow through on it because it's not kind to promise something and then not follow through. And so for those of you who have had some sabotaging behavior going on, here's a way that you can shift that. By rather than trying to figure out why you've been sabotaging or why you've been beating yourself up or why you've been hard on yourself, just focus on how might I be kinder to myself? How might I be more generous? I am free to be kind and generous to myself today by. I am free to be kind and generous to myself today. Make sure it's specific. Phoning up my friend and having a pot of tea with her on the phone. That's kind and generous. So you can give examples of when you were kind and generous to others, because often that's easier. So this affirmation stage is, where do I already know it to be true? I was kind and generous today with my father when I took him for that interview. So a specific thing that you've done for somebody else that was kind and generous. Okay, so I was kind and generous to put in somebody's specific name today when I, and what did you do for them that was kind and generous? And then let's really just anchor that in. I know how to be kind and generous to others. I'm good at it. I know how to be kind and generous to others. I'm good at it. Breathe that in. I'm free to be kind and generous to myself today by. I'm free to be kind and generous to myself today by. And I'm going to give an example of by making a plan to go out for a nice dinner with my partner, and I think we'll go to the sushi restaurant. So I'm free to be kind and generous to myself today by making a reservation at the sushi restaurant for us for dinner tonight. Okay, breathe that in. Now, I know it doesn't need, I say it doesn't need to cost money, and it doesn't. So I'm free to be kind and generous to myself today by packing my suitcase today for my trip on the weekend. That's kind and generous, right? Not leaving it to the last minute, not leaving it until you're upset or worried or frantically rushing 2 days ahead of time to get that suitcase packed and ready to go. And then if there is something I need to wash, I can be kind and generous to myself by doing that tomorrow instead of having to stay up late the night before I leave. There's many, 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 many ways that you could be kind and generous to yourself. And if you're not sure of how to go about it, think about what you would do for a friend, what you would do for your partner, what you would do for your children, what you would do for your parents, somebody that you love and care about. What would you do for them? And then give that gift to yourself. So let's go here. I'm free to be as kind and generous with myself as I am to my, and you can fill that in. I'm free to be as kind and generous to myself as I am with, name a specific person, and breathe it in. And then you can even deepen it more by saying, when I'm not sure how to be kind and generous with myself, I'll think about what I would do for, and put that person's name in. I'll think about what I would do for Teresa, and then do that for me. When I'm not sure how to be kind and generous with myself, I'll think about what I would do for, and then give that to myself and breathe it in. Because we all know what we would do if somebody else was in that situation. I had a client this morning, and she was really in a state of worry, and understandably so. She's got some health challenges happening. But I said to her, you know, do you have a good friend? And she said, yes. And I said, what's her name? And she told me, and I said, well, if Marnie was having that challenge, what would you say to her? She said, oh, I would tell her that it's going to be okay. And has she checked with the doctor? And could I get her anything? And, you know, maybe she should lie down and have a nap and take it easy. And I said, those are all really great suggestions. Try this statement. I give myself permission to take my own fabulous advice. And she laughed, and I said, truthfully, try it. And she tried it, and she began to cry a little bit because she hadn't been giving that kindness and generosity to herself. Okay? I was kind and generous to myself this morning when I went to the pool first thing. And for those of you who received the newsletter, I apologize. There's a big, funny, clumpy, something in the wrong place here. And I don't know why it happened. But anyway, it's a typo error, and we'll get it tidied up for the blog later on. But you can just ignore that part. I was kind and generous to myself this morning when I, what did you do that was kind and generous to yourself? And then the final surrender statement. I am becoming a kinder and more generous person, beginning with me. I am becoming a kinder and more generous person, beginning with me. And breathe it in. And let it go. So the world becomes gentler, relationships become easier, and partnerships truly a place of secure and sacred growth when we're kind and generous with ourselves. I appreciate you listening in. We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about how to be kind and generous with yourself. And in addition, I'm going to give you some wonderful ideas for this season of Thanksgiving and entering into the holiday season. I'll be right back. It's Suze Casey, and you're listening to Flipping the Switch. Are you ready to integrate belief repatterning into your everyday way of being? Discover effective ways to flip your switch between your own inner critic and inner coach.
Changing your thoughts changes your behavior and creates the outcomes you desire personally, professionally, physically, and spiritually. Join me for the teleseminar. Over 3 weeks, you'll receive focused, individualized, coached practice time, and we'll walk through the book. I'll support you with more practical suggestions. Your $99 investment also gives you access to our learning center and recordings of all the calls. For upcoming dates and to register, visit BeliefRepatterning.com. That's belief, B-E-L-I-E-F, repatterning, R-E, the word pattern, P-A-T-T-E-R-N-I-N-G.com, or call 403-286-9380. Learn how your inner thoughts and self-talk affects your behavior, your energy, and the energy of others. You can and will repattern anything you choose.
My grand used to say, a penny for your thoughts. And you know that a mindful daily practice is effective, but who has the time? What if there was a simple, practical, and profound way to focus your subconscious mind? 365 Repattern is an app that sends you a focus word and a positive thought every day, 365 days. Based on my book, Belief Repatterning, The Amazing Technique for Flipping the Switch to Positive Thoughts, 365 Repattern, you can get it at your app store, Android or iPhone. Your thoughts are worth it, and I'm Suze Casey reminding you. You've learned it, now live it. You've read the books and studied the theories, but the practical application is hanging you up. Are you tired of beating yourself up for not living what you know to be true? This is Suze Casey, and I invite you to integrate your learning through easy-to-practice exercise found in my book, Belief Repatterning, The Amazing Technique for Flipping the Switch to Positive Thought. It's available through HayHouse.com or your local bookstore.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Hi, and welcome back. Just wanted to let you know that the 365 Repattern 2015 version will be available beginning December the 1st on smartphone, Android, iPhone, all of those platforms. $4.99 has it coming to your inbox every day. Morning, if you're in the western part of Canada, early morning, comes at about midnight, 1 o'clock, my time, which is mountain time. So depending where you are around the world, people say, can you make it always come in the morning? And it goes once a day. So depending where you are, it'll come to you as a push message on your phone. And then you have a little reminder of a word for the day. How you can use that. Let's just begin looking for examples. And this is one of the activities that I teach in the Flip Your Switch course, and one of the activities I talk about in the Belief Repatterning book. And that is just pick a word each day. Pick a word that you'd like more of in your life, a feeling that you'd like more of in your life. So it might be you'd like to feel more comfortable, or you'd like to feel happier, or you would like to feel more peaceful or more joyous or kinder or more generous. And then what you do is just pick one word, and you might say, oh, I want all of those. Well, that's great. Just pick one at a time, one word at a time, and start your day with that word. And just think about it when you're in the shower. How might I be kinder to myself today? What have I got happening today? Where could I be generous? Who am I going to be seeing that's kind and generous that I could maybe learn from? What's a situation where I might be kinder and more gentle with myself? So taking a look at those and seeing what works, that's one of the ways that you can use the word. Then you can end your day by reviewing your day. Where was I kind and generous? Who did I see? Where might I have been more? And then during the day, just when you're making random decisions, what's the kind decision here? So it was interesting the other day my word was comfortable, and I was swimming. And I was like, I want to do more lengths. And I just kind of asked myself, is my body comfortable with that? And it was, no, that's not comfortable. And I thought, really? I really am enjoying this. And I was like, no, I wasn't comfortable. And I came home and I realized that I was physically tired. I hadn't had enough sleep. And so my body just wasn't comfortable with doing extra exercise. So you can use it to make decisions like that. It'll be super supportive of you. The more that you train your subconscious mind to do this for you, when you are in a neutral place or in a good space, Then when you're in a not so good space, you'll find that it pops up and starts working for you. And so that's what the belief repatterning technique is all about, is that finding that place of the subconscious mind doing it for you. So interestingly enough, I had some people respond back to the musings, and I'm going to go and read some of those for you here in a minute. But before I do, I want to just give you an update for those of you who listen regularly. Last week, Allison was on the show. Some upheaval at work for her, and she was feeling just a bit shaky and not kind of knowing what to do. And we did some repatterning with her, came up with some words like creative and empowered. And she sent me a note the other day and said, I'm back at work. And it was amazing. I went in and had a wonderful conversation with my supervisor. I felt really empowered and very strong and gave her some creative solutions. And then I realized that it was the repatterning that had made the difference. And so I really appreciated her letting me know that. And I wanted to pass that along to you. She said that she would phone in today and talk about it, excepting she was headed off to work. So that wasn't going to work for her today. But if you are around and would like to chat, do call in 877-230-3062. Talking about being kind and generous with ourselves. And it's one of the ways you can't be generous with yourself is by calling in and enjoying a bit of repatterning or giving some feedback or asking some questions, whatever works for you. I would like to do just a little bit more about this article because it was a totally fascinating article. It just really, really brought some interesting things that just, I don't know, made me think about things in a different way. And not only that, at the meditation last night, as people came in, they were talking about this article and how they really enjoyed it and how they found that it was really, really useful. And so I was just looking for the I made a link for the full article. It's from the Atlantic, and the date was June 2014, and it's called Happily Ever After, The Masters of Love. And so social scientists first started studying marriages by observing them in action in the 1970s in response to a crisis. Married couples were divorcing at unprecedented rates and worried about the impact these divorces would have on the children of the broken marriages. Psychologists decided to cast their scientific net on couples, bringing them into the lab to observe them and to determine what the ingredients of a healthy, long-lasting relationship were. Was each unhappy family unhappy in its own way, or did the miserable marriages all share something toxic in common? So as I mentioned earlier, psychologist John Gottman was one of those researchers, and for four decades he has studied thousands of couples in a quest to figure out what makes relationships work. He began gathering his most critical findings in 1986 when he set up the Love Lab at the University of Washington. He brought newlyweds into the lab and watched them interact with each other. With a team of researchers, they hooked the couples up to electrodes and asked the couples to speak about the relationship, like how they met, a major conflict they were facing together, and a positive memory they had. And as they spoke, the electrodes measured the subject's blood flow, heart rates, and how much sweat they produced. And then the research sent the couples home and followed up with them 6 years later to see if they were still together. From the data they gathered, Gottman separated the couples into two major groups, the masters and the disasters. The masters were still happily together after 6 years. The disasters had either broken up or were chronically unhappy in their marriages. And when the researchers analyzed the data that they'd gathered on the couples, they saw clear differences between the masters and the disasters from that 6 years prior. The disasters looked calm during the interviews, but their physiology, measured by the electrodes, told a different story. Their heart rates were quick, their sweat glands were active, and their blood flow was fast. Following thousands of couples longitudinally over these 6 years, Gottman found that the more physiologically active the couples were in the lab, the quicker their relationship deteriorated over time. But what does physiology have to do with anything? The problem was that the disasters all showed the signs of being in fight or flight mode. Now, those of you who listen to my show know what we're talking about. When we're on that downside, we're in fight or flight mode, and we cannot think clearly. So I thought that was a very interesting thing. So having a conversation sitting next to their spouse was to their bodies like facing off with a saber-toothed tiger. Even when they were talking about pleasant or mundane facets of their relationships, they were prepared to attack and be attacked, which sent their heart rate soaring and made them more aggressive toward each other. For example, each member of a couple could be talking about how their days had gone. And the husband might say to his wife, why don't you start talking about your day? It won't take you very long. So that would be a disaster example. Well, what's really interesting is that the article goes on, but I just wanted to make this point really quickly, and then we're going to go to the phone lines. The disasters were not speaking to each other in kind and generous ways. And it got me thinking about, you are talking to yourself 24 hours a day. You might not think you're talking to yourself when you're sleeping, but you are. You're talking to yourself. And if you're not speaking to yourself in a kind and generous way, you're putting your body into that fight and flight physiology, which, you know, may not sound like a big deal, but over time is what results in the body becoming acidic, becoming cancerous, becoming diseased, and having all kinds of challenges. So super important to talk kindly to yourself, to be that supportive and generous person. And speaking of supportive, generous, kind people, Sue is on the line. And I am very grateful that you called in today, Sue. How can we be of support to you?
Wow, you know, it was really interesting because of that fight or flight mode. It seems lately on Thursday mornings I have almost an anxiety thing going on about finding a new job. And yet I know everything is perfect. And I calm myself down. But that's really interesting that you were talking about that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's interesting you say it happens on Thursdays.
Yeah, it's like I'm fine for the first part of the week. And, you know, because I usually have a lot of things going on, the end of the week I'm not quite as busy.
Right.
And I usually go to bed early on Wednesday nights.
And then you wake up on Thursday? Yeah, wake
and
up
I
on
go,
Thursday
oh
with this open
God.
Sleep. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how would you like to feel?
Oh, I would like to feel excited and happy.
Okay, so I know you've done some studying with me. Do you want to just muscle test and ask yourself if that's what you really want, is to be excited and happy?
I'm getting a yes.
You're getting a yes? Okay, good enough. Because sometimes when we get, you know, our head thinks we want something and our body's like, man, not so much. So that's why I like people to use the muscle testing to just check in with themselves. And just an aside, if you don't know how to muscle test yourself and you'd like to learn, there is a real quick one-on-one thing that I do. It's a $49 value. It's called Daily Practice 101. And teach you the muscle testing and how to use that little pocket full book I was talking about to pick a word that's supportive. I bet you were smiling when you saw that I picked out the word forgiveness out of 999 words for myself.
Yes.
I just laughed. I thought, wow, you know, that's really interesting. We all need it. So let's just start with, I forgive myself for believing I need to go into that anxious place.
I forgive myself for believing that I need to go into that anxious place.
It's becoming a habit and it's not supportive.
It's becoming a habit and it's not supportive.
Monkey okay with that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I forgive myself for believing that it's hard to be, what was it, happy and excited you wanted?
Well, actually, the word peaceful is the one that's popping in right now.
Okay,
so.
Good enough. Because, you know, when you said happy and excited, I was like, it's not quite feeling right, which is why I asked you to muscle test, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah. You know, not that I don't want that, but maybe we'll have this. All right. I forgive myself for believing that it's hard to be peaceful while I'm looking for work.
I forgive myself for believing that it's hard to be peaceful while I'm looking for work.
What's the monkey have to say about that?
The monkey's just kind of sitting there looking, like, not sure yet.
Not sure yet. Okay, that's because we're at the beginning of the stage. I don't like that old anxiety.
I don't like that old anxiety.
I have every right to feel it, but it's not helpful.
I have a right to feel it, but it's not helpful.
It's stealing my peace.
I love stealing my peace.
No, it is stealing my peace. You don't want it to steal your peace anymore. That was interesting. You just said, I love stealing my peace.
It is stealing my peace.
Yeah, there we go. I love being peaceful.
I love being peaceful.
And I give my body, mind, and soul permission to be peaceful now.
I give my body, mind, and soul permission to be peaceful now. Yeah, it's settled down.
Okay, yeah. Now, it's really interesting. If you go back and listen to this piece of the show, you'll hear what you said. And others that are listening would have heard it. And you were like just like a big, strong statement. Like you were just saying exactly what I had just said to you. Because there was a belief sitting in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that the situation has to steal your peace. It's like, no, it does not. So I choose to reclaim my peace.
I choose to reclaim my peace.
In fact, I choose to be peaceful in this time of transition and deepen that peace.
I choose to feel peaceful in this time of transition and deepen that peace.
Okay, breathe that one in.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby? Okay, good.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, you called in a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember any of the words we worked on then?
Let me go back. I have it.
I don't offhand remember any of the words, but if you can and you tie them in, that's always a good thing to do. Tie them into other ones that you've done before. So is there another word that you maybe? Sorry?
Compassionate, empowered,
okay.
Secure.
Let's use compassionate and secure. That we could use any of them, but I'm just going to use those two. Okay. Uh-huh. I am becoming more compassionate and secure with myself. I've noticed that.
I am becoming more compassionate and secure with myself. I've noticed that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, when I work out with my trainer at least twice a week, I am being secure and compassionate with myself.
Okay, and that brings me more peace.
And that brings me more peace. Yes, it does.
Okay. I know peacefulness, and claiming it from this place deepens it.
I know peacefulness, and claiming it from this place deepens it.
So when we're on that downside of the line, when we move ourselves over, it'll really deepen that pattern and get it in there in a more reinforced way. Okay, so... I'm free to deepen my peacefulness today by.
I'm free to deepen my peacefulness by listening to my meditation tape before I go to bed tonight.
I'm free to bring that peacefulness to my job opportunities.
I'm free to bring that peacefulness to my job opportunities. Yes.
Nice. In the places of my body, mind, and soul that carried that anxiety, I choose to release it and have peacefulness. In the places
in my body, mind, and soul that carry that anxiety, I choose to release it and fill it with peacefulness. Yes.
Yeah, good. One of the most peaceful people I know is?
One of the most peaceful people I know is my friend Olivia.
I'm so grateful to Olivia. She models peacefulness for me.
I'm so grateful to Olivia. She models peacefulness for me.
When I'm not sure how to be peaceful, I'll think about what Olivia does and try it on.
When I'm not sure about peacefulness, I will think of Olivia and do what she would do.
If it works, I keep it.
If it works, I keep it.
And if it doesn't, I find some other way of being peaceful.
And if it doesn't, I know I'll find some other way of being peaceful.
So what's something that always helps you be peaceful, Sue?
A particular meditation.
Okay. So always. You may want to, you know, make a list of the things that help you be peaceful.
Okay.
So a particular that particular meditation, other things that help you be peaceful.
Going for a walk.
Okay. So write that down. What else helps you be peaceful?
Baking.
Okay, write it down. So make a list of the things that help you be peaceful, and then make sure that you're doing at least one of them every day consciously to make things be more peaceful. Okay? Because you right now, you really need extra peacefulness.
I do, yes.
So consciously put it into your calendar that's what you're doing every day. It doesn't have to be hard or take a long time. You know, most of the examples you gave were easy things that you could incorporate one or more of each day. You know, and it's interesting. You can also then, you know, if you see Olivia frequently or some other friends that you see often, or those of you who, you know, if you have a child or a partner or somebody that you're living with, exchange lists and say, here's what helps me. So on the weekend when I was having a bit of a challenge around the forgiveness piece, you know, my partner looked at me and he said, are you okay, or would you like me to pour you a bath? Because he knows that get me in near or on water and I always come back to myself. You know, and I just looked at him and I said, thank you so much. I said, that was so kind and generous of you to say that. And I said, that's exactly the kind of just you saying that is really all I need. You know, because I was just having a little moment of let's beat up on Sue's. And, you know, it doesn't last very long for me. It's usually a couple of minutes, but he was a little bit taken aback. He's not used to seeing it. And it was like, but he remembered that I had given him my list. And one of the things was have a bath or, you know, in near or on water. And so he offered that. And, you know, if you create a list of the things that do it for you, and then share it with somebody that you care about or a couple people that you care about. And I also suggest put like a copy in your underwear drawer and in your computer bag and beside your desk, because when you're in that place, you can't think of those things. You don't think about going for a walk often, right? You'll sit there and stew about things. And like, if I just went for a walk, I'd feel peaceful. Okay, here I go. Right? Sometimes you need that little list reminder. So making a list when you're in a pretty solid place is a really super proactive thing you can do.
Okay, that sounds really good.
I'm ready to be peaceful.
I am ready to be peaceful.
Beginning
right now.
Here we go. Breathe that one in. It's empowering to be in that peaceful place.
It's empowering to be in that peaceful place.
I focus
one
on creating
things that I love about me.
There we go. There we go. That was your inner coach just coming in full speed ahead. That was great.
Yep.
Nice. And then, you know, let's tie it to that other, to the other ones from that other week. It's compassionate to me to be peaceful.
It's compassionate to me to be peaceful. And it makes me feel secure.
And happy.
And happy.
Okay. So I know that people have heard me say, don't do more than one at a time when you're repatterning. But once you get it, that it feels like it's solid, then start tying it to the other emotions or words that you've repatterned to before. And it's really effective. You just don't want to try to do all of them at once. Do them one at a time, and then you can start tying them together. As I say, once they feel like they're kind of in, then start connecting them to other ones that you know that are in.
Okay.
So how's that feeling now?
Oh, it feels so good.
Good. Well, I appreciate you very much, you calling in today. And just, do you want anything that you want to say relative to your daily practice or that might just be helpful for folks that are listening?
Well, I'm always peaceful when I am working with clients.
Mm-hmm.
That brings me the biggest peace and joy that I have. So,
yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I always suggest to practitioners of repatterning when they're the apprentices and the practitioners when they're starting their practice up or when they're going through a rough patch, I say, you know, find a group that needs your services that you want to support and go volunteer and do some of your work. So, you know, you might want to find this time of year, there's all kinds of organizations that are reaching out to support people. Lots of people need help through this season because it can be, although it's a holiday season and all wonderful and light and bright, if you're on your own or in pain, boy, it's tough because everybody else around you seems happy. And so, you know, if you're always peaceful when you're working with clients, you may want to find someplace where you can volunteer during this time frame when you've got some extra time off. And, yeah. And provide that service and know that you're doing it because you're getting peaceful.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this is the time of year that's tough on people. And especially if you've got other stuff going on, it can just start to add to the stress. So I wanted to just do a little bit here before we close off, a little bit on some things that we can do around this season. I really appreciate you calling in, Sue. And take good care. You know how to find me if you... any of those monkeys start chattering on you again.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate you calling in. Have a good, happy Thanksgiving next week. All right, so looking at this time of transition of the end of the year, you know, you made New Year's resolutions and maybe they haven't come true. You wanted to lose that 50 pounds and you only lost 25, or things aren't just where you want them to be, or you were hoping that this was going to happen for the holidays and now it can't. All kinds of stressors can happen this time of year. And I would encourage you to make a list of the things that really support you and share it with somebody that you care about and maybe even suggest that they make that list. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do for a Christmas activity or holiday time activity, Thanksgiving activity, just to give yourself that gift. Another thing that I would suggest that you may want to do, and I am just finishing up 40 days of gratitude. I just decided to do a gratitude every day for 40 days and post it on my Facebook page. And I'm coming up to the 40th day is tomorrow, and something different every day. And just be really mindful. When you are in gratitude, you keep yourself on that upside of the line. And it's just a great proactive thing to do this time of year during the holiday season. Thanksgiving is coming up in the States. We had ours in Canada a month or so ago. But just what are you grateful for as 2014 is drawing to a close? What are some of the highlights of this year? Things that you're so happy happened. And I get that there may be some challenges. I get that there might have been some hard spots this year. But focus on that upside. When we come back in December, next week we've got the pre-record where we're talking about loving your body, loving yourself. And I'm in conversation with Joseph Gabrielson, one of our practitioners in training, one of the apprentices. But when I come back live in December, we're going to be looking at how do you really use this time of year to focus on your accomplishments, your achievements, and to make your plans for 2015 from the upside of the line rather than the deficit. So rather than looking at what went wrong or what I didn't get done and having to fix it, that's not the place to make your plans and goals and dreams for 2015. So we'll be looking at how to do that from the upside of the line. Many of the things that we'll be talking about are part of the next year's going to be different seminar that I generally give this time of year. And I just decided to break it up and put it on to the radio show. So I'm looking forward to chatting with you then about that. Also a reminder, 1st of December, the new app will be available. And so if you're thinking about buying the 365 Repattern app, I'd encourage you to just wait 2 weeks. If you go in to buy it now, it's 99 cents and you'll only have it for the last 6 weeks of the year. But if you wait to the 1st of December, you get the bonus month of December plus all of 2015. And there's a couple of new, really cool things on the app. Easy way to listen to the radio show as well as just some really interesting new features that we've put in for 2015. So I'll see you in 2 weeks, or I'll be with you in 2 weeks in person. Next week, we've got the pre-record. Do have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Think about the things that you're truly grateful for. Tell somebody that you love them, and know that anything can and will be repatterned if you so choose. I'm Suze Casey, and you've been flipping the switch. Bye for now.